Yep. He did it again. What did he do? Yeah. Who did what? God. I love the way he orchestrates the mornings. Because I'm just some guy with his plan, walking by little faith. Every week he says, my child, oh, you of little faith, if you only knew. I'll do you the favor. The first hymn that was selected by someone, the verse that supports it is Isaiah 61, verse 1, which is in my sermon. Unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to them, but God knew. I turns the page, one page, and the supportive verse for the hymn that we just sang is Isaiah 7:14. If you got your newsletter, it was one of the verses that I highlighted. Does anyone here believe that God himself goes before you? Do you trust that he is with you and you'll never be left alone? Oh, me of little faith. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Doesn't that sermon just preach well? Don't you wish all my sermons were that short? I just want to catch those that are visiting or haven't been here up. Last week we primed the pump for our Thanksgiving celebration. And we had a bear tree, and everyone has put their, or most everyone has put what they were thankful for and why. Last week, it's recorded. If you want to hear probably the most beautiful sermon or service that transpired, listen to it. The testimonies were out of this world. This tree isn't going to go away, at least for a week. I know we're going to decorate the sanctuary. I don't know when, if that's today or next week. But there are additional leaves. So if you want to fill this tree with what you're thankful for, the testimony of your daughter-in-law, there's just something about just saying these things and letting people know. I met the congregation last week. It was a sweet time. So anyway, let's see, we gave our thankfulness, we saw how God was moving, and last week, does anyone remember the two scriptures I encouraged you to read throughout this week? Psalm 16? Well, you live with me, that doesn't count. And Psalm 91, and I guess you don't have to show your hands, but think about it, since Shara just encouraged us. You know, sometimes we should just think back on our lives. Are we what we were created to be? Are we doing all things well? Is life going smooth? How can I get through what this life throws to me? I'll give you one suggestion. Have been for 5 years. So, because I was anticipating that the church wouldn't take the time to read those two passages of Scripture for their own benefit. And I warned you last week that I would probably open or close the service with them. God prompted me to go about differently. But I do want to share Psalm 16 now and Psalm 91 in a little bit. But before I do anything, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that you do promise to go before us, that you have a plan and a purpose and a will for our lives. Father, I pray that today we would experience the blinders coming off, that we would see and know that you are God, that you fulfill your promise of going before us, that we don't go through this life alone when we put our faith and trust in you. God, I pray that you will use my words and your word to encourage each person you have brought here this morning. I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do in this place, and I pray that what is done is to further and enlarge your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, if not, you may just listen to these awesome words. They are life. And there is one in this world that does not want us to ever read them, hear them, or own them. Listen to Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods, will suffer more and more. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There is such good counsel in that psalm, if you're acquainted with God's Word. Because some of that to a random Joe will be, what? But when you read God's Word, the whole of it, when you hear sniglets, they make sense. That's why I encourage you to read God's Word or find a translation that speaks to you. The New Living Translation, Out of the World. The Living Translation, holy smokes, that'll just blow your brain up. But when we're in God's Word, we can go to the spiritual bank and withdraw valuable information to get us through the hard times. I am so grateful that throughout my life, God has seen to it that I would have access to a Bible, that I would read it and take heed to the instruction found in it. I want to tell you, it wasn't always this way. For those of you who haven't been here consistently, 2 weeks ago, now 3 weeks ago, I was dressed to the nines. Did you see the sharp, the blazer, the pants with a crease, the almost shiny shoes? Sorry, yeah, where did she go? Ruth? Look, I try to take attendance by where you sit and you move. You got me. Had this tie bar. I mean, when I put it on in the bedroom, the sun comes in our room and it was like, whoa, man, just, I had the bling on. I looked good. And then there was last week. Blue jeans, not quite engineer boots, a chain for the wallet. What a hoodlum. I didn't have my black leather from my childhood because it was stolen. Oh, I missed that. Had a red liner, good and heavy. I mean, you were somebody when you put that jacket on. So I thought. So I say all that to preface where I'm headed with this. In the 60s, I was young. And pretty much I did everything I was told. In the 70s, I was young and learning, testing the boundaries, and acquainted with the rod. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I knew the rod real well. And then in the 80s, well, you saw it last week if you were here, that's pretty much who I was. What was I thinking? That's the point. I wasn't thinking. She's going through life being whatever the guy next to me was. I thank God for the men that He put in my life. My fifth grade Sunday school teacher who prayed for me and his students by name every week. I still get the God bumps. My youth leaders who met with me one-on-one outside of the church setting. I remember being taken by myself with an old guy like 19 or 26 or something to a park. And we just walked through the leaves and ran. And like he taught me to look at the top of a stick and spin around in a circle. And I almost pitched my cookies. I mean, this is child education here. I learned how to live. I'm thankful for my choir director who could see through the facade of myself and three of my friends and started a small group, of which that information I carry through to this day. How to be a good husband. How to turn from sin. I also thank God for the men I worked with. They impacted my life. Some were more colorful in their speech than others. Some were good influences. Some were not so much. But all these men had a part in making me become the man I am today. I thank God that He has designed us to grow and to undergo the change, even though it hurts. What are the marks of someone undergoing the change? I don't know. Well, Psalm 16 sheds some little secrets. Oh, that was a much better paragraph than what I just said. But anyway, Psalm 16 offers clues. And these are the statements I've formed. Is God your refuge? Do you go to Him for safety? That would be a mark. Someone that knows when life is rough, where to go first. Go to God first. Do you say with confidence, You are my Lord. Apart from You, I have no good thing. And submit everything to His keeping. Everything. Your car, your house, your money, your choice of work, everything. Do you pray, Lord, You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure, knowing that He is in control of all things, including cherries and bees or wasps. They pay attention to Him. Do we pay attention to Him? Sorry, tree. Do you listen for and to His counsel? His word. The suggestions of people that stand in front of a group of people and offer good information. Are you keeping your eyes always on the Lord? Because I'm not. I turn the TV on, my eyes aren't on the Lord unless I'm watching something like Charles Stanley or... Right? Always on the Lord. Have you come to understand that with Him at your right hand, you will not be shaken? This world can't hurt me. Satan cannot tempt me unless I allow him to. I will not be shaken. I will fix my eyes on Jesus. He's my focus. He's my go-to guy. Do you own verses 9 through 11 of Psalm 16? when it says, therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. We're talking eternity here. I'm living heaven on earth because my place is in heaven already, church. We live from a different perspective because of the Holy Spirit living in us. And I'm just learning how to tap into that power at 57 years old. You guys got your whole life in front of you. And hopefully some Sunday school teacher is going to pray for you by name. And someone else is going to adopt you and take you out for a Coke break. And say, Jesus is the way. Keep him first. Don't go to the right or to the left. And you'll be successful. In the 90s, through God's grace and the working of the Holy Spirit, I became a man seeking God. Not willingly, kicking and screaming. I just didn't know it. I'm so thankful that he got a hold of me and I paid attention to him. Because I could have said, this is too hard. What will people think of me? Pride comes before a fall. I'm always in awe as I see the Lord's hand at work in my life and in the lives of people around me. In the big things, in the little things, His hand is moving. And I believe that God delights in our attention to His details. Cherries, really? He got your attention and you shared that with everyone. Because God is so cool. 31 years ago, I got married, and within a month of saying our I do's, God placed us on a journey that was so far out of our comfort zone and unfamiliar. But Tracy and I, we were young, 26, and you were like a baby. 21? That's way too young to get married. But He placed us on a journey, and we said, we're all in, Lord, with reckless abandon. All right, so maybe it wasn't that way. Because when God puts us on a new road, what is our first response? No! And then the alarm goes off, recomputing, trying to get us back onto our old path, which is so comfortable and non-threatening. I just... As I look back to all those detours, fighting my will against His will, I think they were the paths I need to be on, to have been on, to prepare me for such a time as this. I'm just some guy who loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind, and wants to get anybody who has ears to hear to love the Lord their God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind, and their strength. Because life is hard and it doesn't get any easier. Usually it gets harder when you're following Christ. This new adventure was an entertainment ministry. Some of you know and some of you don't. So I'm going to just share a little bit of my life. We started drawing pictures, and at first there was only my plan, one picture for a youth group. That was my plan. But God put people in my life that said, James, you gotta... And my first response was, no! And then God placed before me opportunities to make new presentations for other events. And in my ignorance and my obedience, I did. If you could see the little church in Nantmill from the 1990... one-dimensional black and white color. It looked like a coloring book. Black line, green, blue, yep. One, flat. Not the perspective where you can come and sit at the table and be part of the picture. Over 26 years, God grew me. 5 years into the ministry, holy smokes, we have 14 presentations on the book. That was huge. I was somebody, I thought. I was really special, that's for sure. And then with each year, God created more opportunities for me to what? Share the gospel. And I did it poorly. I really did. I remember going to a college, and it was a Christian's college, stinking like an ashtray. And the kids swarmed around me, laid hands on me, and prayed for me. I'm like, oh, I came here to be ministered to. I didn't do no ministry. Man, what we recognized is that the Lord had things to teach us, people to intermingle in our lives to support us as we shared the gospel. He also had people who needed to hear of His love in anything but a sermon. So He brought two gifts together. I draw, Tracy sings, put it together. When we were obedient and went into the world, God moved. I had nothing to do with it. I have no idea who I've impacted over the last 26 years. But it's more than one. Throughout the years, we've been so humbled that the Lord allows us to be His hands, His beautiful feet, and voice to proclaim the gospel to those who need to know Jesus. I'm so glad that God chooses to use broken upside down people to minister to broken upside down people, that they might go minister to broken upside down people. Psalm 91 is packed full of information to equip us to stand firm in all the circumstances that this life throws our way. And it is at that time, when we're standing firm, that Satan, in his limited power, will do everything to keep us distracted, off balance, not focused on Christ. That's his job. And he does it well. He wants to keep us from knowing and proclaiming the truth of God's word. Listen to what's been left on the table for a week now. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wing you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling. Even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue. I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That salvation is strength and power that we have throughout eternity. When we say, Lord, save me. Come into my life. You guide me. You direct me. I surrender all. I submit my life to you. No matter where God places me, whether it's where presidents sit, backyard birthday parties, here in the States or abroad, at assisted living facilities, adult daycare centers, school assemblies, retirement homes, drug rehabs, juvenile detention centers, block parties, restaurants, after school clubs, youth camps, holiday banquets, or standing in this pulpit, the message remains the same. Jesus saves. Salvation comes from the Lord. Not one thing I do will save your soul. In Christ alone. It's amazing looking back at over the last 40 plus years and seeing how the Lord prepared me for such a time as this and equipped me to care for this flock. And I will tell you, sometimes I feel so inadequate, but God is faithful. Truth be told, God will use anyone that is open to His plan and His will. For me, throughout the course of my life, I have learned that there are two types of sin in this world. The sin of commission, I stole a pen. And the sin of omission. No, Lord, I won't do that. Are you telling me to do what? Never, ever, ever turn your back on the Lord. That is the unpardonable sin, rejecting the love of Christ. Who am I to tell God He can't use me? As living proof, God will use anyone that makes themselves available and obedient. I agree with what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 61, verse 2, hymn number 124. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me and you. Because the Lord has anointed me, us, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me, us, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Do you know anyone on this planet that doesn't need comforting? At least at some point. And who do you suppose God's calling to comfort them? And for the recording, I just raised my hand and then pointed to everyone in the sanctuary. God will use anyone that makes themselves available. So God's word says, it is by the word of the testimony. There's a tree full. Here's more opportunities. And then if you would physically go into the world, we're entering into what season? Christmas. And we celebrate what? The birth of Christ. And we're in the Advent season where we anticipate the coming again. Isaiah was coming birth and they missed it. Here we are alive more than 2,000 years ago. He is coming again. You don't want to miss it. And to keep from getting ready, we stay ready. We have a message to tell to anyone who has an ear to hear. The question to answer is, who is God asking you to share your testimony with of how God's love is impacting and changing or changed your life? Christmas is the easiest time of the year to share your story. Because everybody's all of a sudden focused on the present. Instead of the presence. God's in the house. I know it full well. I experience it every day. And people are walking around, have no idea the power and the authority we hold in Jesus' name. Kind of makes you want to say, how great thou art. See how God orchestrates. I had nothing to do with the hymns, and the hymns are half the message. And we get to proclaim it fearlessly and boldly every day of the week. So has God changed or changing your life? And who do you have opportunity to tell that story to so that they can say, Jesus saved me? And they have the opportunity to tell someone of the story of how God has loved them and changed their life so that that person can say, Jesus saved me. Why do you even know about Jesus? Because someone loved you enough to tell you about him and his love. And then when you have that, it's impossible to keep it to yourself. Father, I thank you for your word, that we have access to it every day, that it speaks volumes to those who have an ear to hear. God, I pray that you would remove the blinders, that we would see how great thou art. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.